I got some scriptures and things that I'd like us to look at and just go through. I want to emphasize this morning just how good God is and the fact that He is good and He's good all of the time. So, do you believe that?
Yes.
Too good. Oh. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Because the Bible teaches us that God is good. And God is good because it's in His nature, and He is a giver of good gifts. And so He doesn't want to sort of alter, nor will He alter His personality trait, if you want to call it that, because it's who He is. So, God is good. He's motivated to actually connect with us, because His purpose for us is to actually create passion in us for Him, leading to us discovering the purpose of why we're actually here, and then receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, and to go out into not only our locality, but also the nations as well. So there's just a heritage that God has planned for us all, individually, of His goodness, but He gives us all of the tools that we need to be able to do the things that we actually sometimes think, well, would that actually happen? You know, if I lifted up somebody's legs and I said, in the name of Jesus, the shorter leg grow, would it happen?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've seen it done. I've seen the shorter leg bypass the shorter leg bypass the longer leg and think, oh crumbs, Lord, what's going on here? And then see it come right back until it balances right at the same level. But you know, in the natural, you're a little bit like, oh crumbs, what's going on here? And as you give that greatest prayer ever, help! Because you're not really sure what's going on. And I think part of it is our fear that we don't want to look like we've got egg on our face, or that we've said to someone that this is going to happen, and it's going the wrong way. But sometimes part of walking with Jesus is that stepping out of the boat and fear and all over you, you go for it. Because that is faith in action. And Jesus loves it. And He comes in the back of it. And because He loves that person so much that you're actually taking time with, that He will come and He will bring His healing to that. So God is good. We just need to experience that, use it, get out there and put it in action. In John, 1 John 1 verse 5, it says that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So He's the light of the world, and in Him there's no darkness. He can dwell in darkness, but darkness is not in Him. So there's a verse in Genesis which says that God was in the darkness and in the clouds. So it proves the fact that God can operate anywhere, but in actual fact He is the light of the world. And there's no darkness in Him. There's no evil in Him. There's no negative in Him. He is good all of the time. He doesn't have a mean streak. How many of you growing up were worried about your dad getting home when you actually had done something, and Mama said, that's it, I'm telling your dad, and when he gets back, you're for it. And you spent the rest of the day like, oh, crumbs, how am I going to get around this? And for me, anyway, I knew that when my dad got home, as a peace officer, I was for a grilling and the leather belt probably as well. So to the point I remember one day, you remember the old spring beds with the bars that ran around and hooked up onto the edges? I remember being under my single bed one day, my father coming into the room, where are you? And he's lifting the bed up and the belt was still coming in under. So there was no hiding, there was no getting away from it. But thank God He did have that sort of aspect, because He loved me enough to pull me back into line when I needed it. But there's no sort of hidden mean streak in God. He doesn't have a hidden bad side that you don't get to see unless you step out of line. Because if a lot of us in the church who grew up, and I grew up in the congregational church, amazing church, the part of the teaching was that you grew up with is, if you step out of line and God's this big ogre in heaven, He's fine with you when you do good, but when you step out of line, He's ready there to wallop you or make things go bad until you turn back and acknowledge Him. And that's not God's nature. Number one, when a mom and dad have children, you don't break a child's leg to teach them not to do that thing again. Well, I hope so. I don't get much reaction. There's a bunch of cruel parents out here. But God doesn't do things to children that he loves. He'll actually teach them and he'll train them what is right. But he'll not inflict pain on them to teach them a lesson. So God doesn't do that. He doesn't give you sickness to teach you something. It's not in his nature. So if you look on it in the... If God's always good. Psalm 119, verse 68. Let's have a look at that. If you've got your Bibles with you today. It's the big long psalm in the middle. Psalm 119, verse 68. You're good and do good. Teach me your statutes, O Lord. So it's actually saying that another verse that says, you are good and what you do is good. Yeah? So what God does is good. So why don't we stand and make a declaration over our lives? So you want to stand with me? Declarations are good because it's actually declaring scripture and applying it to your own life by declaration. So if we, after three, we'll just do, I'll start and you follow. One, two, three. You are good.
You are good.
And what you do is good.
And what you do is good.
Amen. You can be seated now. I'm just trying to keep you occupied while I'm speaking so you don't have to drift off to sleep. Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no change in God. There's no change in Jesus. So he's already there, he exists, and it's never going to stop existing because he is a forever God. There's sometimes in scripture like Abram and Sodom and Gomorrah, when God has said because of the sin that was there, and God cannot look on sin, so you think, well, how does that tie in with God is good? Well, God is good because he will protect what is his, and what has gone wrong he will remove so it doesn't infect the rest. So there's a good side, there's a character of God he does not display, but there is that side of him that he will deal with things when it's needed. But he does it from a situation of love, not of anger or anything else. So there was the situation with Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was saying, Lord, would you not spare? And you write down, even if there's one righteous man, would you spare it? And God changed his mind on what he was bringing on that hill. They were saved. So God is good. Everything he does is good. In Genesis 1 and 31, God saw all that he made, but even including man, and it was very good. So God's a creator, he makes, and he doesn't, any engineers in the room would know that you maybe make a prototype. Let's not go there, women. Men were not the prototype, and you were the best thing made after the men. So, you could argue that, but maybe man was the rough draft, and the woman who came out of man was the ultimate. Well, I don't know. We're not going down that route this morning. But basically, God, when he made man, he made it, it was good. And when he made the whole of creation, he made it good. He made it to sustain. He made it in such a way that even the stars made music that actually worship him. It says that even the stones will worship him if we don't. So he has this whole thing built into the design of the planet that he is in control of everything. So he's a good creator, he's a good God. And additionally, you know, when God made you, he made you good. He didn't make you bad. He made you good. He says you're the apple of his eye. So he never makes anything with fault in it. But as we grow through life, we can sometimes be influenced by our peers and go down the wrong road. But if we come back into relationship with Jesus and find our Maker, then salvation comes in and the old gets washed away and we start fresh again in life. And he's so good at doing that. Why? Because his intention is to have intimacy with us. It's not his intention to have us like ostracized because we don't say we know him. No matter whether you know him or don't know him, you haven't got a choice in the fact that you are his creation. And you're here for a season like this. So that's why it's important for us to take the good news, to take the stories and the testimonies and tell others about what God has done. Because they are the stories that will hook people into a curiosity of this Jesus that we speak about, who is healer, who is the repairer of broken hearts, who is like a rock that you can't get knocked off. So he's the one who holds you in the palm of his hand. So these are the things that we tell people to invite them to come into a relationship with the Father God who created them all. So they're no less sons or daughters of God just because they haven't said yes to Jesus yet. In his eyes, they're still his. And his heart, which is good, says, I want them to come to me. And we're the instruments that he uses at this season to actually allow us to actually talk and to invite people into a relationship with him. Like Charlotte brought John 2 weeks ago, and last Sunday he came and he found Jesus. So simple little acts like that, but a life gets transformed and he comes into a relationship with his real Father. So God is good. Do you believe that God's in a good mood?
Yeah.
Because Scripture tells us, as far as the Father is concerned, in Psalm 2:4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. So God is in heaven, he laughs. And that's present tense. It's not that he laughed once. He laughs today. And it says he laughs at the plans of men, because the plans of men, he laughs at because he thinks, they don't know my plans. You know, I've got different from what they're trying to bring to pass. And my plans are the ones that will come through. That's why he said that he can raise a king up in a day and bring a king down in a day. Because he controls everything. It's his land, it's his world, we're his, and he gets to guide in the background everything through life. So he plans it for us. It also says in the Scripture that Jesus is happy. How many know that Jesus is happy? Yeah? Cool, two. So Luke 10:21, Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. So when the Father baptized him, when he was baptized, and the Father came, and the dove came down, and he spoke those words of affirmation over his Son, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and with Holy Spirit comes joy, because it's part of what God has for us. And then it says that the Holy Spirit is also happy. And you can look at Psalm 16, verse 11. In his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Wow. I'll read that again. In his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So there's something about this whole intimacy thing with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit that we get to interact with, and because of that we get blessed and we get to have pleasures as well. I'm not talking about getting your £6 million airplane, but I'm talking about just normal pleasures in life that make you smile, make you feel joy, and make you feel at peace during the week. The Holy Spirit is a representative of God, of God's presence, so when he says in his presence, we're saying in the Holy Spirit is fullness of joy. Because that whole thing in Romans 14 verse 17, where it says righteousness, peace and joy form the kingdom of God. So you've got righteousness, peace and joy. And we spoke on peace last week, so that means that joy represents a third of what God sends the kingdom. So that's why we're going to be joyful people, because we carry Jesus inside us. That's why we're peaceful people, because we carry the peace that God has given us. That's why we're righteous people, that we follow the right way that the Lord has set before us. And all three combined, like the Bible says, there's nothing can stop us, so nothing can strip that from us, because it's God in the midst of everything. And we've got to remember that in the midst of this, God is in eternity, not trapped in time. That's very important to realize that God operates in eternity, not just in time. So, God is in a good mood towards us. So God, he demonstrates his goodness towards us in different ways. And I love this one. In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. What does it say in there? He rejoices over us with singing. Isn't that awesome? that God in heaven takes enough time out of his eternity to look down at each individual one and sings a song over us. I wonder what your song is that he sings over you. Yeah, you know, your mind just can't captivate. What sort of song would God sing over Rory? You know, what sort of song would he sing over Pete? It's just like, it's awesome to think that God, the creator of the world, takes time out of his time to sing a song over us that's relevant to us. You know, and he may be singing, "Don't worry, Emma, things are going to turn around, maybe things are going to get great, and this is what I've got planned for you." I don't know what he sings, but I'm sure it's good, and it's filled with the goodness of God for us as we walk life. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Does that not represent how much he loves his creation, that he sacrificed his son to actually pour his love, great love, for what he created? He's a giving God. He loves to give. He loves to give good gifts. That's why in scripture it says that if you being a dad and your son comes in and says, "Dad, can I have a loaf?" you don't turn around and give him a stone baked pizza. But you get that thing that what he's trying to get you to think that I am a father who loves you enough that if you ask me for something and it lines up with my will and I think it's good enough for you, then I'll provide it for you because you've asked. So he's good. In Romans 5, verse 8, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Is that just not a symbolic scripture of, even though we were seen as sinners, not right standing before God, but yet even in the midst of that, he created a pathway and made a way possible through Jesus that we can come into relationship with the Father. Now, that is a creator and is ultimate. He will correct the flaw and actually make a way to make it back into a good design. So he gives with open arms, he gives us all that opportunity to come and know him as Father and Savior. He demonstrates his good mood through his giving and forgiveness to us, whom, you know, he's no obligation to do that, but yet he made a way. And all he asks is for us to acknowledge his Son as the sacrifice who rose again on the third day and is seated with him on the right hand side of the Father. He made that link possible. All we've got to do is simply say, "We surrender our life to you. We make our life submitted to you. We want you to be our King and we want you to be our Savior." And it's simple like that, so simple that a lot of the world struggle because they think, "Well, what's the catch? Why is it so simple?" But yet God made it that way because his plan was for to nurture his creation into, because his heart is that none would perish. And that's the heart of a good father. When you go to that extent and you look really at it, that none would perish, that is the love of a father shown right there. Healing and the prophetic ministry demonstrate towards us and towards people out on the streets his goodness. When you're in a coffee shop and you get a word for someone who's sitting on a table opposite you, and if you've got that unction and just step out, take the risk and go and speak to that person and to share what you felt Jesus has just shown you, that person's life get impacted. But not only that, the impact of that scenario and what you've spoken over them will actually change the direction of their life. I remember one time sitting in the captain's club here in Christchurch, and I was meeting with Gary Conway, who was pastor of Cranley Chapel at that time, and we're sitting out in the deck area outside just having coffee, and the couple directly behind Gary are sitting there, and Gary's chatting away about various bits and pieces, and the Lord's speaking to me about this couple behind, and what he's telling me is to go up to them and say, "Shut it down." And three times he speaks it, and each time it gets louder. And I thought, wow, this is pretty important, Lord, if you're actually like emphasizing it so much. He says, "Go tell them." Now, the guy, he was on his phone, and they were eating their lunch at the same time. So I can't go right now. So I waited till he had finished his phone call, and then I seen him push his plate away and thought, well, he's finished. So I got up, said, "Excuse me, Gary." And I walked around and I said, "Hey, you don't know me, I'm a local pastor in Christchurch. but I'm sitting behind you and I'm watching you. And his wife goes, you're watching this? And I said, I've heard the Lord God speak to me and to give you a message. And the message was, he said, shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. And this guy's eyes were getting there. I said, I don't know what's going on, but I just get a sense that there's a deed or something that you're involved with, or something's going on in your life at the minute. And the Lord's telling you, he's warning you, close this down. A better opportunity will come along. I said, you need to let whatever's going on now. And this guy's eyes were getting like saucers. You know, so I gathered, I never knew and still don't know, but by his facial reaction, it was making an impact on his life. And I then sat down. And Gary says, what were you up to? I said, do you know that book? I said, no, I don't know. He said, what? You just went up to a perfect stranger? I said, well, I heard the Lord speak to me. I said, I had to act on what I'd been given. Otherwise, why would he give me anything? So I operated, and then Gary was like, really? And then the couple got up to leave, and the gentleman came around, took my hand, shook it, says, thank you so much. What was that about? I don't know. I was just a messenger. I was just prompted by the Holy Spirit to tell them that. But you've got to believe that when God speaks to you, it's got a reason behind it, and it will actually have an impact on their lives. So God is good using the whole prophetic ministry stuff. Matthew 4:23, Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people. Remember last week when we spoke about peace? That we walk in peace? That peace everywhere we go, we annihilate, wasn't it Shalom means? We annihilate the attachment of chaos to people's lives. That's what that word Shalom means. That when we speak the word Shalom over something, we're actually speaking the totality of God's goodness and his favor upon someone, to the point where anything they've got going on in their life should begin to change, because we've impacted their life with peace of the Father that we carry inside. We bless them with peace, and peace brings change to their life. Acts 8 and verse 7 and 8, many paralytics and cripples were healed, so there was great joy in the city. When you operate under the movement of the Holy Spirit, you actually are releasing joy. Joy just doesn't need to be our thing. Here, joy hit the whole city because of miracles happening. So when God moves in an arena, things just totally change and become blessed by heaven to the point where joy rises in people and they experience a closer relation to God than they've ever done before. God wants us to experience the good mood that he's in. So in Psalm 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay? He doesn't supply MSG that makes you think, oh, it's stupid, I need some more of this. Like it gets put in a lot of the food products these days, especially McDonald's and that, when you eat a burger and you think, oh, that was good, I could really do another one. You know, and it's that MSG that they put in to put your taste buds to come alive and go, oh, I need another one of these, and that's a fact you do. So, but God's involved with taste and see. So taste him, see, and experience God in the real sense of him operating in your life. He's good and good to get to know. In Psalm 126, let's take a look at that. Psalm 126. The very start of that. Yeah, verse 1, Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captives from Zion, we were like those who grieve. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then he said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. So when God turned up, changed the circumstances that they were in, it brought joy, it brought gladness, and they felt that life was fulfilled for them, which changed their whole heart attitude, and God gave them back their freedom, gave them back into the nation that they were promised. So there's just this whole thing of God loving on us so much. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. I want that. I want to be filled with joy because I see what God's doing around us. I see how we impact other people's lives, and we get the testimonies like Barry getting healed just by simply taking a couple of seconds out of your time to try and bless someone else. You know, and see what God does when you step out. God wants to release His good mood through you, through me. It's His thing. He's given it to us, but He says, freely you've received, freely give. So it's not for us just to have a good jolly and feel nice every so often, or feel nice every Sunday when we come to church. He's actually given us the gift of the Holy Spirit that brings joy to actually take and use, to interrupt people's lives, like the couple I shared about in the restaurant. You change the direction of their life just by that little bit of a word. I remember at the New Forest show, we had the healing marquee set up, and this lady came in with the brimmed hat, the brim was out about here, and she was like, she's dressed like royalty. So she came in, and she was crying. Sharon took her into one of the chairs to pray for. It turned out she was a local barrister just going through divorce. But this other guy had come with her. He was standing off the side looking a bit not sure. And I thought, well, I'll just go over to him. So I walked over to this guy and I said, hey, I'm Andy. My wife Sharon's just praying with your friend. And he says, yes, she's just a friend. It's just a friend. I'm not. You don't need to tell me that. So he laughed. And I said, but as I've come over to you, I said, I just heard the Lord say to me that you're about to have a dream. And in this dream, the Lord is going to show you something that's going to make you money. And He wants to bless you with finance. So when you have this dream, don't discard it, but look into it. And don't share it. Look into it and do something about it. Get this thing and patent it so that it becomes yours and you get blessed with the money that will come from it. And this guy comes in. How did you know that? I just had that dream last night. I said, I'm already on to five of my clients. Your perspective is saying, do you think this could be a door? And they're all saying, yes, yes, you need to get this. You need to run with this. And I said, God's telling me, He's confirming that dream was from Him last night. And you need to move on this. And God's going to bless you in business because of this. How do you know this sort of stuff? Because He asked. So I was able to tell Him why. But it made such an impact on him. Because again, his eyes were like saucers because he had just had the dream a few hours earlier. And here I am telling him that dream was actually from God. God's trying to come across your pathway and link with you. So if we don't ever do those things, then those people don't get to hear. And you don't create the hooks of the chain we're asking that God's putting in place to win them into the kingdom, to win them over, to bless them and win them. So it doesn't always happen when He blesses them, but on this occasion, God's heart was for this guy and was wanting to bless him so that he would come into a relationship with the Father. So he didn't that day, but the impact of that dream, he'll never forget that. And he'll never forget that someone told him he had a dream. Yeah, so God's in the business of connecting people, and He wants to use us through it. In Matthew 10:7-8, that famous scripture, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near, or is at hand. It's your hands. He's blessed you with hands to lay on the sick and see what God does when you pray. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy and drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give it. So it's clear in Scripture that we've had hands laid on us, we're ordained. God says go do it. So if He says go do it, then that means we've got all the dealt tools that we need already there. And if we don't have it, He'll provide it when needed. Because He won't let His word return to Him void. So He doesn't do that. So you can step actually out in a practical way, knowing that the minute you take that step of faith, that your God will so back up His word that He'll come and He'll be with you. In fact, He'll be smiling. The fact that you move and He has to come to back up what you're speaking to someone. And that's where he gets excited when we get excited about faith and stepping out and doing things and trying to interact our life into the world around us to impact them and win people for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So God wants us to have an encounter so that we become an encounter so that others have an encounter. I'll read that again. God wants us to have an encounter so that we become an encounter so that others can have an encounter. So God encounters us first, so we have experienced the encounter, and then when we go and lay hands on the sick, others get blessed with an encounter because of what we've been blessed with. So what we've been given us, we freely give away. In Romans 2, verse 4, it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. He is such a kind and good father that out of his heart, for those that don't know him yet, he wants kindness to be shown. So even just a kind gesture to someone, a smile, can change somebody's day. Like we were at John's funeral yesterday, and this lady shared about how she was in a really low place, and John turned up at her door, bought a flask of hot tomato soup, it totally tipping it down, and he walked a couple of miles probably to get to her house with his freshly made tomato soup to bless her. But he came with a two-page letter to her as well, of encouragement and scriptures and everything. She said, it so lifted me out of where I was, and that was his heart. That he would just give and give and give. Even in the pouring rain, he walked all that way, got soaked through himself. So there were so many stories yesterday of what a kind-hearted guy he was, and how he would go that extra mile for people that he didn't need to, but he did. So God is good, and we're called to be good like that, to actually look for ways how we can infiltrate people, how we can bless people, and how we can let Jesus be seen in us, because there is no darkness in him, and we want to dispel the darkness. The darkness only comes because it's the enemy's ploy to heal. Yeah, he needs to keel over, but to kill, steal, and destroy, that's his plan. It's always been the plan, and he doesn't want anybody to go to be with heaven, in heaven. So he is out there trying to destroy and bring darkness around people's lives, mental issues, depression, sickness, cancer. He's out there trying to create and stir all these things out, and God's saying, hey guys, you've got the answer. You're here because I'm in heaven, and I'm instructing you to go. I'm instructing you to go and use the tools that I've blessed you with to go and change the chaos of people's lives. Amen?
Amen.
That's good. Why don't you stand? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are declaring through your word that you are good. You're good all the time. And Father, we honor you for that as Father, that your heart is for us. That there is nothing, Lord, that you want that you would give us as bad. So, Father, we thank you, first of all, for that. Thank you, Father, that you have endued us with power. That power, Father, that you gave because of Pentecost to the church to be a witness to you, Father, to carry that dunamis power that can only come from the source, and that's you in heaven. So, Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit and what and how he operates inside of us for to bring glory to your name, Father. And so, Father, we just bless the gifts that you've given each individual of, Lord. And we just say, Lord, let this be a week of encounter. That we encounter you so that we can encounter others and let them experience you. Like Sharon yesterday with that young man who walked away from you. He had an encounter with his father yesterday that sort of made him just be like out of it for 15 minutes. And yet, he will never forget that encounter with the father. So, Father, we just bless what it is you want to do in our lives and say, Lord, if we be so open, Father, our hands are always out like a child ready to receive a gift, Lord, that you would come and bestow on us the gifts of that we need, Father, to walk life out in the community around us. That we're the one, Lord, that may pay for somebody's petrol in their petrol when they're filling their car, and you sneak in and pay yours and pay his too. He doesn't even know who you are. But yet, you pay for somebody's groceries, or you pull out a fiver when they're short of some money at the till. You just get to be Jesus in the community. Because the Lord God, we just thank you that you own everything, that you own the cattle on a thousand hills.
Yes, Lord.
And there's nothing, Father, that we give you will not restore on this. You say 100-fold, Lord, even in this lifetime. So, Father, nothing we give to get. But, Father, we thank you, Lord, that your personality is such that we can never outgive you.
Yes,
we can never outdo you because you're so good. So we bless today and we bless this week in Jesus' name.